Tough. We are Tisha B'Av Tav Shin Pei is a different Tisha B'Av than all other Tisha B'Avs that we've ever experienced before. Usually we have to force ourselves to feel something on Tisha B'Av. It's usually a make-believe experience, and we struggle on Tisha B'Av in order to feel something, in order to feel a loss for the Beit HaMikdash, in order to feel that things are terrible and the misfortune, and to remember the anti-Semitism and the pogroms. And this is what a normal Tisha B'Av is like. It's an experience of make-believe, of trying to dramatize something that we don't necessarily feel inside. And we have all these academic discussions around Tisha B'Av. Should we change the Tefillah of Nachem? Nachem speaks about the destruction of Yerushalayim, Ir HaBzuya, VeHashomema, and this doesn't reflect our reality. We're living in a time of Geula, of redemption, Reshit, Smichat Geulatenu, Kibbutz Galiot. We have a strong country. We have our own government, Jewish sovereignty. Yerushalayim is rebuilt. Jews have populated Yehuda v'Shomron, Hare Yehuda. We could drive to the Kotel in 1 hour. What does Tisha B'Av normally have to say to us? If we have to be honest, in some ways very little. And that's why we have to force ourselves every year to say Kinot and to feel it. And yet there is something more real about Tisha B'Av this year than ever before. We are living through a Chorban. We are living through a type of destruction, of normal life, destruction of our routine, a Chorban of everything that we knew before this. And we've been in a period of Bein HaMitzarim now since Purim. We've been in a time of straits, of challenge, a time that's been very, very unpredictable. Our routine has been broken. Our complacency has been shattered. Many of us have not seen our families in a long time. Families abroad, England, South Africa, America, even family here in Israel, we haven't been able to see as much. The words of Eicha, Eicha Yashva Badad ring so true this year. Badad, Bidud, being alone, being in lockdown, being unable to see people, unable to even go outside. The word bidud, I looked it up on Google, has 4 million hits on Google. How many hits did the word bidud have 6 months ago, four or five months ago, before Purim? We are living in a time of in which Eicha Yashva Vadad has really come true. Many people are alone. Many people have to stay away from friends, from family, from loved ones, hold up in their homes just so that they don't infect or chas v'shalom be infected by somebody else. Another parallel between this and Tisha B'Av. When the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, we exited the Beit HaMikdash and the Beit Knesset became our Mikdash Ma'at. We have now, for the most part, exited our Batei Knesset. And so the same sort of transformation and cataclysmic transformation that the Jewish people went through 2,000 years ago, we're experiencing that. We hope this is not going to be long-term, but no one knows where this is going. Everything is so unpredictable. And this is the Chorban of our time, of Tav Shin Pei. And Tisha B'Av is a day in which we take a step back and think about and contemplate the whole arc of Jewish history. We look at the big perspective, dating back to the Avot, Brit Avot, Zechut Avot, the Beit HaMikdash, the Crusades, Gerush Sfarad, the Holocaust. We examine, we analyze, we think about all of these events in order to understand what we need to do today, what Am Yisrael needs to do today in order to fix the past, in order to improve the future, in order to rebuild the Beit HaMikdash. And we compress all of history into this one day in order to understand the demands of the moment. And it is my goal this morning, as I introduce the keynote, to contextualize Tisha B'Av Tav Shin Pei, and to focus on the lessons for right now that we as a nation, that we as Am Yisrael and Medinat Yisrael and the Jewish people at large need to focus on in order to rebuild the Beit HaMikdash. And so we will look back to the past, but we're also going to focus on this moment right now because there are many things that we need to think about right now. Now let's talk about Corona for a second. We are dealing with four major crises today as a people. We're dealing with a medical crisis. We're dealing with a financial crisis, a looming financial crisis, which has already hit some people. We're dealing with a mental health crisis. And we're also dealing with a crisis of the unity of Am Yisrael. Israeli society has become a powder keg. It's combustible. Protests and violence and threatening language. We are on the edge of a cliff. We are on the precipice of a cliff as a people right now. Things are very toxic. You're pro this politician, you're anti this politician. You're pro Badatz, you're anti Badatz. We're a society that is being torn into pieces. We're losing faith in the government and our leaders. We're losing faith in ourselves. If only a few months ago we were applauding ourselves for being Startup Nation, well, right now we're in the pits. And right now we are pulling each other apart. And right now we're fighting and yelling and screaming and criticizing and blaming everybody else for this and that. And it starts at the top of the leadership and it trickles down to the entire Chevra Yisraelit. Now, when we speak about the Chorban, when we speak about the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, and I've addressed this over the last few weeks, there are many reasons given by Chazal. There's the Gemara Masechet Nedarim, and Masechet Yoma, Masechet Shabbat. None of the reasons presented by Chazal for the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash have anything to do with the Romans or the Greeks, or the Yishmaelim, or the Edomim, or the Arabs, or this nation, or Iran. It's not about them. Because the answer, the explanation that Chazal always provide us for why the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed is not the external enemies. It's not because of what's happening on our borders. It's not because of Omdim Aleinu L'chaloteinu. That is not what caused the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. What caused the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash is always an internal problem. It's the problem of our connection to each other, of our relationship with each other. This is what Chazal always teach us. If you remember, during the second Beit HaMikdash, the Romans were sieging us from outside, but it was the divisions within the people. The Kanaim were burning stockpiles of food, and those who were more moderate were fighting with each other, and they didn't have a joint strategy. They weren't unified inside Yerushalayim. And therefore, it was very easy for the Romans to break down the walls and to exploit the vulnerabilities and the divisions amongst the people. How different is our situation today? How different is it? How close are we to someone lighting a match and burning those stockpiles? Things are very combustible right now in Medinat Yisrael. And I guess I've come to the realization, and this has really been, to be honest, it's scary. I've come to the realization of how vulnerable we are. And yes, Israel is strong, and Tzahal and the IDF, and you know, we have a strong economy today. But Israel is very vulnerable. And it reminds me how precious Israel is to us. And if we don't take care of, if you don't take care of something that is precious, and you don't protect it, and you don't invest in it, and you don't care about it, it could break. Make no mistake, it could break. And this is what happened to the Jewish people in the time of Yirmiyahu. They're looking at the Beit HaMikdash and they're saying, there's no way that the Bavlim, there's no way that the Egyptians, the Mitzrim, are going to attack us or conquer us. Look, the Beit HaMikdash is standing, they say to Yirmiyahu. What are you talking about, Churban? What are you talking about that things can go wrong? We have in front of us the Beit HaMikdash. We have in front of us Medinat Yisrael, the greatest miracle of the last 2,000 years of Jewish history. But make no mistake, we're vulnerable. Make no mistake, this is so precious, we need to protect it. We need to treat it. We need to do everything we can to keep it strong and invest in it. And I want to use this opportunity to speak about perhaps the most famous story around the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, the story of Kamsa Bar Kamsa. I want to talk about this, and I want to talk about the concept of Sinat Chinam. And I want to look at this from a new angle to see how it applies to us today. Now, the Gemara in Masechet Yoma, Daf Tet Amud Bet, teaches us, Migdash Rishon Mipnei Macharev. Why was the first Beit HaMikdash destroyed? Mipnei Shlosha Dvarim Shahayubo. Because of three sins, three cardinal sins, Avodah Zarah, idolatry, Gilui Arayot, ushvichut damim, adultery, and murder. Aval migdash sheni, what about the second Beit HaMikdash? Why was the second Beit HaMikdash destroyed? Shayu oskim b'Torah gmilut chasadim. Mipnei macharev, they were very righteous. They engaged in the study of Torah. They even did gmilut chasadim. Mipnei macharev, mipnei shahayta bo sinat chinam. Is there a sinat chinam, which we tend to interpret as baseless hatred? L'lameidcha sheshkula sinat chinam kineged shalosh averot. This teaches us that sinat chinam is equivalent to these three cardinal sins. Now, sinat chinam is an important theme in the destruction of the second Beit HaMikdash. And then there's another story about Kamsa bar Kamsa. The Gemara in Masechet Gittin, Daf Nun Hei Amud Bet teaches us, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan says, Ashrei Adam Mefached Tamid Umakshe Libo Yipol Bira'ah. Happy is the man who is anxious always, but he who hardens his heart falls into misfortune. What is the meaning of this pasuk? Ashrei, praiseworthy is the one who is always afraid, who is always anxious. Then the Gemara tells us, Akamsa, Bar Kamsa, Harub Yerushalayim. There are three stories. And the reason why Yerushalayim in particular was destroyed was because of Kamsa, Bar Kamsa. The story of Kamsa, Bar Kamsa. Now, what's interesting, first of all, is that the story of Bar Kamsa, Kamsa and Bar Kamsa, is not directly associated with Sinat Chinam, at least according to the Gemara. There are those who make the connection. We're going to talk about the connection. The Maharsha, the Maharal make this connection. But these are sort of two different concepts. Now let's examine the story of Kamsa bar Kamsa. We already have two questions before us. Number one, what is the Sinat Chinam that we speak about? And number two, what is this pasuk which Rabbi Yochanan introduces, Ashrei Adam Mefached Tamid, how does that have to do with Kamsa bar Kamsa? Now let's examine the story inside. The truth is that there are two different versions of this story. There's a story that appears in Eicha Rabbah. We can call it the Yerushalmi Palestinian version. There's a story that appears in Masechet Gittin in the Talmud Bavli, the Babylonian version on Daf Nun Hei. I'm going to read the story in English, and then we'll discuss it together. On account of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa was Jerusalem destroyed. There was a man whose friend was Kamsa, and whose enemy was Bar Kamsa. He made a banquet and said to his servant, go and bring me Kamsa. He went and brought him Bar Kamsa instead of Kamsa. So the host saw him sitting there and said to him, since you are my enemy, what are you looking for here? Get out. And the host says to Bar Kamsa, get out of here. And Bar Kamsa says to him, since I'm already here, let me alone and I shall pay you for what I eat and drink. And the host said, no, get out of here. And Bar Kamsa says, I'll pay you for half the cost of the banquet. He says, no. He says to him, I'll pay you for the entire cost of the banquet. The host says, no, get out of here. He picked him up and threw him out. And what does Bar Kamsa say? Bar Kamsa says, since those rabbis, the Talmidei Chachamim, were sitting there and did not protest, I'm going to go and slander them to the Romans. The Romans were in charge at this time in Eretz Yisrael. Now, interestingly, in the Talmud Yerushalmi version, we say that a person by the name of Zachariah ben Avkulos was present at the feast. In this Talmud Bavli version, it doesn't say who, it's just a group of Torah scholars. So what does Bar Kamsa do? He goes to the king, to the Roman Caesar, and he says, the Jews have revolted against you. He said, how can this be proven? He said, send them a sacrifice, send them a korban, and see if they will offer it. So he sends a three-year-old calf. And on the way, what does Bar Kamsa do? He blemishes the calf by the lip. Some say he did this to the eyelid. And what is, why is this problematic? Because you can't bring a korban, which has a blemish, which has a mum, a baal mum, to the Beit HaMikdash. So what happens next? The rabbis don't know what to do. They receive this korban. They're told that it's from the Roman procurator. And it's meant to bring peace for the kingdom. And so the rabbis say, maybe we should bring it. It will bring peace if we don't. But Rav Zachariah ben Avkulo said to them, well, people are going to say, now you're allowed to bring a baal mum to the Beit HaMikdash as a korban. You're allowed to bring a blemished animal to the altar. So then they say, well, wait a second. Maybe we should kill Bar Kamsa for putting us in this bind, for slandering us to the Romans. So Rav Zacharia, and basically, let's kill him now so that he doesn't go tell the Romans that we didn't slaughter it. So Rav Zacharia ben Avkulo says to them, but then people are going to say, he who puts a blemish on the on a korban is deserving of death, and that's not true. If you put a blemish on a korban, you're not deserving of death. So Rav Yochanan concludes the story, and he says, an vitanuto shel Zacharia ben Avkulos. An vitanuto usually means the humility, the modesty. Destroyed our house, burned our temple, and exiled us from our land. Now, third question that I want to ask about this story. Why do we say that Kamsa and Bar Kamsa are responsible for the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash? Please explain to me, how exactly is Kamsa responsible for the destruction of Beit HaMikdash? I understand Bar Kamsa. Maybe you should say Bar Kamsa and the Baal HaMishteh were responsible for the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. Kamsa and Bar Kamsa, Kamsa had nothing to do with it. According to some readings, he wasn't even at the party. He didn't even show up because he didn't receive the invitation. Now, some say, and we'll talk about this, that he actually was sitting at the party. But how do we understand this? So three questions. Ashrei Adam Mefachei Tamid. Number one. Number two, what is the Sinat Chinam? And number three, what is Kamsa? Why is Kamsa responsible for what happened here in the story of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa? Now, I want to share with you as an explanation for the story, the interpretation of the Maharal Miprag in his Sefer Netzach Yisrael, the eternity of Israel. And in Netzach Yisrael, the Maharal has a tremendous insight that sheds light on different aspects of this story. And he says as follows. The Maharal, first of all, says, we know the first Beit HaMikdash was destroyed because of the three cardinal sins. And the second Beit HaMikdash was destroyed because of Sinat Chinam. And he says, what's the meaning of this? And he says, Ve'ein lomar sh'ayazim imikra. This is not coincidental. There must be a reason why one was destroyed for these three reasons and the other one for Sinat Chinam. What's the meaning of these punishments? And he explains as follows that there's a fundamental difference between the first Beit HaMikdash and the second Beit HaMikdash. The first Beit HaMikdash had Hashra'at Shechinah. The first Beit HaMikdash, Hashem dwelled in the first Beit HaMikdash. Hashem was present in the first Beit HaMikdash. This was the ma'ala, this was the special quality of the first Beit HaMikdash. And why was the Beit HaMikdash destroyed? Because the violation of these three cardinal sins brought tum'ah, brought impurity to the Beit HaMikdash. And therefore Hashem's presence was no longer able to rest in the Beit HaMikdash, and so therefore it's destroyed. That's the first Beit HaMikdash. What about the second Beit HaMikdash? What was the unique quality of the second Beit HaMikdash? There was no divine presence. There was no Hashra'at Shechinah. What was special about the second Beit HaMikdash? And the Maharal explains that the unique quality of the second Beit HaMikdash, Aval Ma'alat Mikdash Sheni Haya Mechamat Yisrael Be'atzmam. Instead of the Shekhinah, it was the unity of the Jewish people. V'davar zeh barur ki Yisrael heim mitachdim ayidei Beit HaMikdash Shehaya Lahem. It was the unity of the people. It was the Jewish people coming together, which substituted for Hashra'at Shechinah. This was the unique quality of the second Beit HaMikdash. Remember, the Jewish people who came back and came together and built, they came back to Israel after the first exile and built the Beit HaMikdash. This was the unique quality of the second Beit HaMikdash, that the Jewish people came together to build it. And this replaced, in a sense, it substituted for Hashra'at Shechinah. However, once Perud and Machloket, once division and infighting, once Sinat Chinam became the dominating quality within the Jewish people. So therefore, the very basis for the existence of the second Beit HaMikdash was no longer in place. and therefore it fell, therefore it had to be destroyed. And this is why Sinat Chinam was the punishment, not just the punishment, it was the cause of the destruction of the second Beit HaMikdash, because what gave us the strength, what kept the Beit HaMikdash standing, was our unity. And once that no longer existed, once that fell apart, so by definition, the Beit HaMikdash had to be destroyed. And he explains that the word Kamsa, actually means separation and division and Pirud. We know that the Kohen, when he does Kmitza, we in Parshat Vayikra, we learn the Kamatz Misham. So the Kohen separates, when you have a flower offering, Korban Mincha, he separates with his fingers some of the flower from other parts of the flower. This is Kmitza. The word Kamsa comes from the word Chiluk Uperud, separation and division. Now, how does this relate to the story of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa? So the Maharal explains that something should have happened at this event, which did not happen. What should have happened is that, he doesn't say this exactly, but what he essentially says is as follows. Ben Yehoyada says this, and I'll bring that in just a second. What he says is that very often when there is division between different people, you and I are arguing, let's say, or we have a difference of opinion. What do? I bring someone into my group. You bring someone into your group. And so now it becomes your group against my group. It becomes your ideology against my ideology and your tribe ultimately against my tribe. And it ends up becoming a machloket, not about ideas, but a machloket about group identity. My group versus your group. My political party versus your political party. My miflaga versus your miflaga. My gizra versus your gizra. And it's just a clashing of identity as opposed to a discussion about ideas. This is what Korach, this is the sin of Korach. Korach ve'adato. Korach didn't want to make it a machloket about ideas. Korach wanted to create a political culture in which it was him and his group versus Moshe and Aharon. As if either you or us versus you, we're not willing to compromise. We're not willing to seek out a common cause. It's us versus you. It's black or white. My miflaga versus your miflaga. Either you're anti or you're pro. You're for this politician or you're against this politician. There's no gray. There's no nuance. There's no subtlety. There's no, well, this politician does this well, but I think he makes a mistake in this area. And so we could agree on this, but we could disagree on that. No, it's about group identity. You're all in or you're all out. You're either with me or you are against me. And Kamsa was one of the members, the friends of this Balabait, this Baal Mishteh. He was part of that group, that party, that miflaga. And this is what happens when there's Sinat Chinam, that it creates different groups that are totally separate from each other, and it becomes a group identity. So my disagreement with you is no longer about an idea, but it's about who you are and who I am and what you represent and what I represent, and there's no compromise. And Kamsa was part of this general situation. Kamsa was part of one group. Now, the Ben Yehoyada, this is the Rav Yosef Chaim of Baghdad, was a commentary on the Agadah of Shas. So he, in his commentary, he says, you know, Kamsa, who was sitting there, he should have stood up and said something and said, I, how could you treat Bar Kamsa like this? You shouldn't treat him like this. And because he didn't stand up and he didn't say anything, so again, he proves himself to be part of this group. He's never willing to disagree with someone in his own group because we're all right. We are always correct and you are always wrong. And that's what's happened, that politics in the time of the second Beit HaMikdash turn into a tribal identity. And the problem is that we're talking about the Jewish people. We're Yachad Shiftei Yisrael, we're one people. Yeah, we do have differences of opinion. We have different shvatim. But if we ever devolve into this type of group infighting, then we lose the unity of Am Yisrael. We're no longer a nation. And this is what happened in the time of the Beit HaMikdash. But there's more than just that. It wasn't just the Sinat Chinam. It wasn't just a regression to argument of group identity, which is very much what we have in Israel today. We have the right camp and we have the camp to the left. And the camp on the left can never say anything pro this politician. The one on the right can never say anything pro this politician. It's you or me. You're either in this block or that block. This Gizra, you're Haredi or Chiloni or Datilumi. Chas v'shalom that you should ever cross the aisle. Chas v'shalom that you could agree with someone in another group. Chas v'shalom that you're willing to compromise and agree. Okay, we're wrong on this thing. We need to work with you on this thing. We made this mistake in the past. Chas v'shalom. My group is always right. But there's a second sin that's brought out in the story of Kamsa bar Kamsa. And that relates to that pasuk, Ashrei Adam Mifachei Tamid. And Rashi explains that Ashrei Adam Mifachei Tamid teaches us that a person should always be wary, be anxious about the future consequences of their actions. A person needs to think about, where is this going to lead to? If I do this, what's going to happen next? If I act in the following manner, what will be the repercussions, the long-term repercussions? The story of Kamsa bar Kamsa is a story in which everybody only thinks short-term. So the guest, he kicks out bar Kamsa from his party. Does he ever consider how embarrassed, how ashamed bar Kamsa is going to feel? Does he even consider this? No, I want you out of my party right now. And therefore, he doesn't think about the long-term consequences. And then bar Kamsa goes to the Romans, very angry, seeking revenge. Revenge is the ultimate short-term thinking. And he says, I'm going to tell you, Romans, what exactly happened to the Jewish people. He was so angry and so upset and so ashamed and so embarrassed. He didn't think about, wait a second, this is going to be very bad to bring the Romans into internal Jewish conflict. But that's what he does. Another example of short-term thinking. And then you have Zechariah ben Avkulos, who's so concerned, and in some ways he is thinking about the consequences. Well, people are going to say that if you bring a Baal Mum to the Beit HaMikdash, you're worthy of death. He's like so Rosh Bakir. He's so narrow-minded in his viewpoint. He's so stuck in halachic minutia that he doesn't understand the political, the national security consequences of his decision, that if they don't receive the korban of the Romans, and the Romans are going to attack them and destroy them. And this is going to be an active insurrection against the Roman government. So everything is short-term thinking. Everything is the here and now, instead of thinking about the long-term consequences of our behavior. The Ben Yoyada goes further. He says another lesson which is connected to this is that if you remember, what was the mistake? What caused this whole thing to play out was that the host accidentally told his messenger, go and invite Bar Kamsa instead of Kamsa. So he mixed up a word, Kamsa versus Bar Kamsa. Even mispronouncing a word, Kamsa versus Bar Kamsa, Bar Kamsa versus Kamsa, that can have long-term repercussions. The words that we say, one word, can destroy whole worlds. Maybe this is why the blemish, the Baal Mum, was dafka on the lip. It was on the lip of the calf. Because it teaches us about the power of words, the destructive power of even one syllable, Kamsa bar Kamsa. Now, how does this relate to our own reality? Rabotai, we are living in a Medinat Yisrael, which is very combustible today, in which we're so focused on hating each other and so focused on disagreeing that, well, I'm not you and you're not me. That we can't find common ground. We can't even work through a pandemic. We can't figure out a way out of this terrible plague that is hurting us right now. Everybody's got their head in the sands like an ostrich. Everybody's thinking narrow-minded. It's all short-term thinking. How could I, and it starts with the leadership, how could I maneuver this political situation so that I can be in power longer than that guy? How can I get the one-year budget instead of the two-year budget? How can I position this so that this person is going to be a justice and not that person? This is all short-term thinking, and what is being sacrificed is Medinat Yisrael and the Jewish people today. All short-term thinking. No one is thinking, wait a second, what are the long-term repercussions if I keep attacking the justice system? What are the long-term repercussions if we can get along here and figure out how this coalition is going to work? What are the long-term repercussions if we just look at everybody in stereotypical fashion, Charedi, Chiloni, Dati Lumi, and we're not willing to bridge the gaps and to build bridges and to work together through this crisis? I want to share with you a piece that my teacher, Rav Chaim Sabato, wrote about. He's a poet, he's a Rosh Yeshiva, and I want to share with you this piece that he wrote, Ilu Zachinu. He wrote this recently, he published it. It has a number of themes connected to Tisha B'Av, and he says as follows, Ilu Zachinu, if we had merited, Hayumit kansin kol mumchei bri'ut hatzibur danim machlitim u'matzi'im, if we merited all of our health experts would come together and come up with a unified plan. Lo zachin, we did not merit. V'hamumchim zedoresh beko v'zedoresh beko v'kol achad mecharef et re'eu v'zeh mashmit v'zeh ma'ashim. We did not merit. And all the experts are yelling and screaming and attacking. I'm right, you're wrong, the data says this, that, instead of working together. And he goes on. Ilu zachino ayu chaverot ha-tshufot v'anshei ha-madam mitachtim limtso chisun u-tshufa. If we were merited, all the different groups, all the different labs would join together to find the vaccine. Lo zachino. And every single group is trying to outdo the other to make the big buck. Ilu zachino mi sheitilu alav hitbodedut v'izdagud haya model makir tova l'mi shemaginim maginim abriuto. Ilu zachino, everybody would be happy. Wow, thank God. They're putting me in bidud, and I'm not saying this is an easy thing. We're putting me in bidud so I could protect others. Lo zachinu. The kol machane, everybody, every camp, savur shirot fim motao, the sogrim moto lashbul, every camp, every different business. No, they're out to get us. It's all, you know, we're going to lose out. Ilu zachinu ayumi pale bateknesim amdei yeshivot zochim et zivuy atorah mishpat atorah dechai bahem lo shamu bahem. If we zachinu, everybody would say, wait a second, let's put life before demanding that we get 20 people in the Beit Knesset or 50 people in the Beit Knesset. Lo zachinu. And we haven't. Usforim im shesgirat Batei Knesset igzerat Antiochus. And people think that the Batei Knesset closing is Antiochus and Hitler, who's trying to destroy the Jewish nation and the Inquisition. And he goes on. Ilu zachinu sha'at mishbaru makeh lamit hayta yechola liyot sha'at hayafeh shel amenu. If we were merited, this would be a high point for the Jewish people. She'arkei ha'netzach shelo, in which our eternal value she'melavim oto ledorot ve'abderecha kamocha ve'chayachicha imach ve'asita yashar ve'atov, all these great Jewish values would guide us through these tough times. Hayu merapim et ha'makah be'avad dola, it would heal the divisions. Lo zachinu, we did not merit. The aretz boka umevluka. This is a pasuk from Sefer Shayo Perek Avdalim. Zem avgin v'zeshofei. This is protesting, and this person is this and that. Zetzoeg. This guy screaming. Zeochez b'kanoshar eyu and yelling and fighting. V'sinau mishamta mimalet davira. Everyone's blaming everybody else. Kvar hayama sev Yerushalayim. There was already an incident in Yerushalayim. Kolim apayim shana. Before 2,000 years, Shekanaim safu otzorot sheyachlu lachzik at the Yerushalayim, and the zealots burned the storehouses of wheat when the Romans were sieging mitoch sinat chinam yishtareyahu. In gamayom nisrof biadenu otzot medinatenu, where we also burn the storehouses of our country, of our nation. Uvemiel kolad talui lo berei atzibor bevad sheel mi mehem karei chazgab nevoato shuim atatzman velo atatzon. It's not just the leaders who are responsible. Everybody is. Cultural leaders, thinkers, talmidei chachamim, authors. Ilu aya chinuch la'avat chinam, if there was education for avat chinam, lihistapkut b'muat, for being happy with even less, lechesed, for kindness, lar keruach v'netzach v'lo lirot mamon l'redifat kavod, if we weren't about running after honor, and it wasn't about money, min amei shara v'koch v'redifat machaneh t'machaneh lo ayinu magi'im halom. V'ulai ha'lev m'vakesh to, he goes to the bottom, v'ulai ha'lev m'vakesh to kavod, zarmei ma'im torim ne'elamim mefachkim mitachat l'slaim latidim mifrotz v'yanivu ma'yanot torim v'yitarud arceinu. The tefillah, sukim from the Nevi'im, that new waters should purify our land and our nation. Ulai, ilu zachinu, if indeed we would merit. And this is a hope. This piece ends with a hope that we could see the long term, that we could be chachamim sheru'im et anolad, and not let internal divisions rip us apart, that ahavat Yisrael, ahavat hazulat, ve'haftal re'acha kamocha, should overcome any divisions and jealousy and fighting and sina and competition. We all need to see the big picture at this moment. We all need to see the nolad. We have to recognize that we are on the precipice of a cliff right now. We have to recognize this in a way that the Jews did not understand 2,000 years ago. We have to recognize, and with this I'll conclude, the Rambam writes in Olchot Teshuvah, there's an idea that I saw quoted by Rav Eli Sadan, Rosh Mechinat Eli. Very powerful idea. The Rambam writes in Olchot Teshuvah, Eizohi Teshuvah Gmura. What is complete Teshuvah? How does a person fully repent for a sin? And the answer is as follows: Zeh shabali ado davar shavar bo ve'afshar biado la'asoto u'pireish v'lo asam mipnei teshuvah. So when a person has the opportunity to commit the exact same sin, is the opportunity to steal that person's iPad, and he chooses not to do it, not because of fear, not because he's feeling weak or lazy, but because he knows it's the right thing to do. You're in the exact same situation and you don't do it. That is teshuvah gemura. Now friends, Tafshin Pei, this year, we are sitting in the same situation as the Jewish people before the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. It's the same situation. And this is our opportunity 2,000 years later to do Teshuvah Gemurah, to show Hashem that we have learned the lesson of the past, that we are deserving of this great gift of Medinat Yisrael, that we are deserving of this great miracle, that we recognize its preciousness, that we are going to hold it tight, that we are going to let love overcome Sinat Chinam, and we are going to do everything that we can to find the light, to find the truth, to be patient, and to be open to another person's perspective. Whether they're part of another Gizra, another Miflaga, we are going to find the kernel of truth in what they have to say, and find common ground. There will always be differences. There will always be machlokot. But we need to transform this machloket into a machloket of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. We need to be able to create a machloket that we can live with, in which there's mutual respect and mutual love that overcomes any sense of division. And my friends, Rabotai, we are losing that right now. We are not overcoming this. And we need to come together. We need to have Achdut Am Yisrael. We need to show that we are worthy of this great gift of Medinat Yisrael, that we have learned the lessons of the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, the Chorban of over 2,000 years ago. Bezrat Hashem, we should understand this. We should internalize this message. And Bezrat Hashem, we should be zocheh, zachinu. We should be able to look back and say, zachinu, we merited this. We merited this, and we recognize this precious gift that Hashem gave to us. And we learn the lessons of the past. We're now going to start with...